Greetings, Cos Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. And with me this week is not Kevin Carr. I've got Brian Gibson from FilmSchoolRejects.com. How's it going, Brian?
Not Kevin Carr here. Great. You, Neil?
Yes, and you may be wondering to yourself, why is Kevin Carr not in the magical studio in the sky?
He stole Wall-E, and he got arrested.
Yes, he went to the Wall-E junket and never came back. No, that's not true. He is on vacation this week. So I got a week of relative peace. And I got a week that is going to involve Brian being on the show. And also with us, we have my brother Cody and his friend Dexter. They are our audience. So if for some reason we say something funny, which I doubt.
Won't happen.
Yeah, they may laugh. I'm not sure, though. So this week we're going to talk about Wall-E. The thing that Kevin stole, apparently. And we're also going to talk about Wanted, which is a pretty cool flick, I suppose. I don't know.
It's supposed to be. That's a rumor.
Guns and bullets and fancy stuff. But before we get into that, we'll tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over on fatguysthemovies.com. You can also head over to iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or, if you would like to give us a call, which I think somebody called us this week, but I didn't really listen to the message, area code 614-388-8735. I'm just lame at listening to the messages, I suppose. This is normally where Kevin would make fun of me.
Yeah, so, well, I was going to say, I mean, for all you that are listening out there, we want you to call, but we're not going to listen to your messages. Right. At least Neil's not going to, just to make sure you know that.
I've already decided that the difference between you and Kevin is you just kind of sit there and look at me like, what's wrong with you? Whereas Kevin actually cuts in and goes, well, not to deviate already, but anyways, enough making fun of Kevin.
I could tell you miss him so much already.
Wow. Anyways, so this is normally where we would give a fat guy's biggest reject loser update, but we really don't have one, do we?
Not really.
No, we haven't had one for a while.
No.
I think that that's not a good thing.
Well, when my body was sliced open, that's what kind of.
Oh yeah, that's
everything.
Right. You lost. They took out multiple areas of your body, didn't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, but we still are going forward with this whole thing, and
somebody's gonna drink some milkshakes.
Somebody's gonna drink some milkshakes at Comic-Con, and we have a feeling that we're gonna somehow rig this so that Kevin loses.
That'd be awesome.
I think that's the only fair way to go about it.
Well, I mean, somebody else still has to lose.
Right.
But it would be nice to see Kevin.
Yeah, that's the only reason that we started this was to see Kevin, you know, make a fool of himself on the street in San Diego. And he's, like, winning. How unfair is that?
I think Kevin, though, like, I mean, if you look at his frame, I think there's only so much he can lose. So, like, I think he's going to cap out somewhere.
Right.
And then, you know, something horrible is going to happen.
Right.
And we're just going to go right past him.
Yes. If for some reason I start losing weight, I may have a chance at this. But otherwise, I'm just kind of hanging at the same weight. But I am getting a personal trainer. So we'll see how that works. I don't know. We only have like a month left. Yeah. As of today. Next month at this time, we will be in San
What'd you
Diego.
Say his name was? Bjorn? Bjorn.
Bjorn Turok. So anyways, let's talk about some movies, or at least one movie. And we are referring to a cute little robot named Wall-E, and this is about a little guy who is the last robot on Earth after 700 years after all of the humans have left. He is still hanging around, but the problem is he's developed a little bit of a personality. Let's go to the clip.
In the summer of 1994, there was a lunch. Toy Story was almost complete, and we thought, well, geez, if we're going to make another movie, we got to get started now. So at that lunch, we knocked around a bunch of ideas, and the last one we talked about that day was the story of a robot named Wall-E.
Wall-E. And there you have it. There's a clip from Wall-E. Now, Brian, you didn't see this, did you?
No.
No? Okay. No. Well, I mean, that's okay. You still have seen, like, all 900 million clips that came up online from this film, right?
Yes, and I already know all of it. I love all Pixar movies. Yeah, it's just a given.
And I will tell you what, I saw it earlier this week, and I had really no reservations about seeing it, and I knew I was going to like it, but what I didn't really expect was how much personality they could give a character that doesn't talk. And I know that was like my big complaint last year at Comic-Con when we first saw a little bit of Wally, and Andrew Stanton was talking about how he's a character that doesn't talk, but he's still, you know, very engaging. And I thought it was amazing how cool the story was. And I thought it was, it's a quintessential Pixar movie in the sense that there's a lot of warmth to it. It's beautifully animated. You fall head over heels right away for all the characters. And, you know, little guy just kind of, he's kind of a winner.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made a big move, and I can't remember his name, but the guy who voiced R2-D2.
Wasn't it Ben Burtt?
Yeah.
That did the sound?
Yep, that was the sound designer for Wall-E. I mean, taking even R2-D2, which had a ton of personality, considering didn't really speak any type of language, right. Couldn't even say his own name, you know? Mm-hmm. And then here you have Wall-E, who, you know, I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming that really all he says is Wall-E.
Well, he says Wall-E, and he has all these little, like, these little emotions where he's like,
Okay.
And it's almost like watching a dog, like a really cute dog, not like a nasty growling, snarling dog, but like having like a cute puppy, and the puppy is just curious, you know, and kind of has a personality. And I think that's a very endearing thing. And there's a couple things that I think people might not like about Wall-E, or that they could get hung up on, which I think is unfortunate, because overall it's such an amazing film for kids, and it's also a great film for people that used to be kids, which is pretty much everybody. So, but there's two things that it might have going against it. One is that there is a message to it, but then again, all kids flicks really have a message, you know? I mean, there's usually a, you know, love conquers all, or
don't go into a van without windows.
Yeah. Right. Don't talk to strangers. whatever the message is, this one is that we need to take better care of our environment, and that humanity is kind of messy and sloppy. I mean, he's a robot 700 years after the humans have left, and all he does is pick up trash, and the world is just covered in trash. So, and then of course there's a little love story with him and Eve, who is the very iPod looking robot. But, and so the other thing is, it also kind of slows down after Wall-E. Basically, the story goes, Wall-E's there, he's picking up trash, he's doing his thing, and, you know, we see him being very curious about his environment, and then this other robot shows up, Eve, who was sent by the humans to see if Earth was habitable, and then he chases her off into space, and they go back to where the humans are, and that's where it kind of slows down, and the plot starts to thicken a little bit, and those characters are less interesting than Wall-E. So I think for some people it might get a little slow, but overall I still think it works, and it's still such an incredibly vast universe, especially for an animated film, that everything about it is impressive. So yeah, that's about all I have to say.
The thing that really struck me, I was reading Peter's write-up at Slash Film.
Yeah.
And he said that a lot of the scenes reminded him of other films, kind of gave him those same feelings, or even the visuals were pretty similar. Like he mentioned when Wall-E was going through space and kind of reached up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He reminded him of E.T. Yep. I mean, is that kind of the feeling that you got?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. Totally. So, all right, cool. Well, that's all I have. I'm giving it a Totally Rocks. When we come back, we're going to talk about Wanted. And now that we've talked about Wall-E a little bit, it's time to talk about the other movie that's coming out this week, Brian.
Wanted?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, that was bad.
I know. It's okay, though. We'll get past the bad jokes.
I'll let it slide, but if you ever do it again, I'm going to curve a bullet right in your face.
Whoa. And that, I guess, is a good segue into playing the clip. Wanted, it's about an ordinary guy drafted into a fraternity of assassins.
You know how they say, someday a girl's gonna come along and change your world forever?
Please be quiet!
6 weeks ago, I was just like you. And then I met her.
Ah.
fraternity of assassins. The weapons become a fate.
Kill one. Save a thousand.
And there you have it. Clip from Wanted. Very fun, I suppose.
Yeah.
What'd you think? We saw this before we came to record.
Yeah, earlier.
Earlier.
I really liked it. And I was worried because for those of you who don't know out there, you're general moviegoers, that this is an adaptation from a graphic novel.
A very good graphic novel.
Yeah, very good.
One that I enjoyed a lot.
Yes. I'm going to need that back, too. So.
Is that yours?
Yes, it is.
I thought I bought mine.
No.
That's yours?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
That sucks.
But yeah,
I like that one too.
Definitely check it out. It's a great graphic novel, and I've always been worried because there's been certain graphic novels, not even your popular ones, like for instance, History of Violence.
Right.
Read the graphic novel, loved it, saw the movie, consequently didn't like it at all. But
oh, really?
I mean, what did you think?
I thought, well, what, about History of Violence?
No, about Wanted.
About Wanted. Well, I think it's funny that you bring up the fact that it is a graphic novel because I think there's already been a bunch of fans who have said it's not like the novel, it's nothing like the book, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal. The book is about supervillains. Very bad, nasty, very immoral supervillains. There's no happiness to the story of the book, and it's very in your face. The movie keeps the spirit of the book. It's very in your face. You know, it's still about people that kill people. So for all of you people who need, people to kill other people, there's plenty of that.
There's some plundering.
But it takes a different avenue to get there. You know, it's a fraternity of assassins instead of a fraternity of supervillains. I think you might have said it best off the air where you said, you know, they did pretty well working with almost nothing, with a blank slate. And it's... You know, as Robert Fury from FilmSchoolRejects.com said earlier in the week, it is an adaption in name only.
Yeah, that's the thing is that you're saying it perfectly. It's
I know
it's a hard.
I do this.
It's source material that would be really hard to translate into the mainstream media. I don't think audiences would particularly like it. I mean, yeah, there's going to be people who would like it. I mean, the book has its following. Obviously.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer and his clan,
but You know, it just they did a great job because I think that this, you know, is one of those times where they deviate from the source material and it actually ends up helping it out.
I think so, too. I don't know. As much as I would love to see a filmmaker have the gravitas to make a movie that is just so anti-heroic and so anti-happy ending, you know, such as a faithful adaptation of Wanted, I thought this movie worked well, and you have to make it accessible. You're down a little bit because it's an R. You also, besides Angelina Jolie, you don't have, you know, huge star power. It's not, you know, Hancock with Will Smith. That movie could just absolutely suck next week, and so many people are going to go see it because it's Will Smith. You know, there really isn't another movie star out there like that. So I think when you look at it, they really did have to water things down a little bit. They couldn't have made a very faithful adaptation. That said, there's a lot of bullets. There's some skin, which I enjoy.
A little bit.
A little bit of Angelina Jolie.
It's good that you kept those separate. You enjoyed the skin, and then you said Angelina Jolie. So it was James McAvoy's skin?
It was James McAvoy's nude butt.
Torso.
That really got me going.
Yeah.
He was ripped in this movie, I'm going to tell you. This is not meant to sound in any way as if I practice some kind of deviant lifestyle. But James McAvoy, man, he pumped up for this movie. I always envy that ability of actors, some actors, to just all of the sudden be muscular. Like Gerard Butler for 300. All of a sudden, the dude's like built like a brick poop house. Like, I mean, like that's
well. I think it's the whole thing where your lifestyle is. I don't really have to do anything but get ready for this role. You know,
right?
Yeah. I mean, if that's your responsibility.
But since I've been doing Fat Guys in the Movies full time, I've tried to work out too, you know, with my impending celebrity that I'm sure is going to happen someday. It's not working. I'm still fat.
Well, next time we see Zack Snyder, we'll ask him to put you on the payroll.
Yeah.
And see if that motivates you.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you had to be that one flabby
right.
Spartan running out there, like, you know, this is like out of breath and like, you know, Jerry Butler like throws a spear through your face.
Right.
You know.
You know, that I will say this is totally off topic, but that was the only thing that I found funny about Meet the Spartans is that they were all like the ripped drawn on abs guys and there's like one fat guy. Because you wanted that to happen. Am I right, Peanut Gallery? That you wanted that to happen in 300 where there's like one of them was just like a tubby dude. But it didn't happen. It was so implausible, I think.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that you watched Meet the Spartans.
No, I did. Didn't I tell you what my Meet the Spartans review was?
No.
I never ever wanted a natural disaster to happen above my home more than in the first 10 minutes of Meet the Spartans. I literally was sitting here watching it, going, man, I wish a tornado would hit right now.
Really?
Oh, it was terrible.
That's no good.
I mean, there are things that Kevin Carr does that makes me bang my head against the wall. This, way worse.
Really?
By far.
So, like an 18-hour car ride with Kevin or Meet the Spartans again? Which one?
I would rather put appendages of mine that I value into a vice.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Then Meet the Spartans again. The whole, like, it was, here's the thing with spoof movies, and we have moments left in this segment. We'll get back to Wanted here in a second.
All right.
Here's the thing with spoof movies. If they pay attention to what they're supposed to be spoofing, very funny. Airplane, very funny. History of the World Part 1, very funny. Spaceballs, concentrated on spoofing Star Wars, very funny. Meet the Spartans was very funny until Paris Hilton showed up. And until Britney Spears showed up in that movie. You've got to be kidding me. Pay attention. There's so many sword and sandals flicks out there. I could literally write a Meet the Spartans movie where the dialogue probably sucks because I'm not that good of a writer. But it would at least be on topic the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it would be making fun of Spartacus and Ben-Hur and Troy and all of these other... And Gladiator. I mean, come on. You're like, let's start with making fun of 300 and then throw American Idol in there. And maybe people will think that's funny. I'm sorry, the idiots of America think that's funny. But the rest of us are sitting there going, what is wrong with you? Did somebody drop you when you were a child? Ugh, frustrating.
Yeah, I just completely avoided it. I think that my life is better off without having seen it.
I disagree.
Why?
I don't know about better off.
Why? I can't value my life because I don't know the depths of hell that Meet the Spartans will take me in.
No. Here's the reason why you should see movies like Meet the Spartans. And I was having this argument with somebody else the other day.
Because the studio paid you?
No, not because the studio paid me. I cashed a check either way. The reason you should see bad movies is because you should be able to experience all emotions when it comes to the film. You should be able to go and see Wall-E, which we talked about in the last segment, and fall in love with a cute robot and his amazing story and this very warm thing. You should also be able to experience hate, rage, anger, and, homicidal tendencies by watching Meet the Spartans.
Yeah.
You know? I think you should experience all movies so that you know what you really like. So then you can say, oh yeah, bad movie? I know what a bad movie really is.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like you should never say you've seen a good, you know, movie about the Holocaust without seeing Schindler's List. You know? I would, if you're like, well, I've never seen Schindler's List, but I know a bunch of good Holocaust movies that you should see, I'd be like, that's crap, man. It's crap.
All right. So if you could start recommending some Holocaust movies for me after the show, I'd really appreciate it.
What were we talking about?
Wanted.
Right. Okay. So overall, what'd you think? What's your grade?
I thought it really rocked. I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay. I'm going to go totally rocks. Why not? I was going to say kind of rocks, but I just have.
What was your hitch on it before?
The lack of faithfulness, and then it kind of dragged a little bit here and there.
It's a movie. It's not a book.
Overall, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people get shot in the face.
Yeah.
And the head and other places. And Angelina Jolie, naked from head to toe, just turned the wrong way.
And if you haven't heard the Red Band trailer, Morgan Freeman lets out an F-bomb.
Absolutely steals the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the box office.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back, and as always, this time of the show, now that we've given you our opinions on WALL-E and Wanted, it is time to talk about what they're going to do at the box office this week, and also to look back at last week and our predictions for the box office, which I don't actually remember what we predicted last week. Anybody in the room remember what Kevin and I predicted last week?
I don't listen to the show. I don't.
Cody, do you remember what we picked? What was our predictions? Nobody has any idea. We knew that Get Smart was going to do pretty well, and that was a given. And we knew that what was that other movie that came
Love
out?
Guru?
The Love Guru. Which you and I actually saw last week. I wish you would have been on last week because Kevin did not get a chance to see The Love Guru.
Oh, really?
And you liked it.
I did. Yeah.
I think we were the only two people in the history or in the entire world that liked The Love Guru.
You know, and that's funny because I was asking you if you wanted to grab a couple shots before we saw it.
Right.
And I mean, we went in sober.
Right. We went in sober and came out actually, well, we laughed the whole way through. It was really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we actually got called this week by a random commenter on Film School Rejects. We were called shills for the studio, basically. They said that we said all this nice stuff about The Love Guru. And it started with something that happened on Twitter. One of the Paramount reps actually wrote a little Twitter that said, sending the check over to the rejects so that they won't bash Love Guru.
Oh, wow.
And then I had to defend myself earlier this week on Slash Filmcast.
You cashed that, right?
You're totally.
All right, sweet.
I went on Slash Filmcast, and Peter, of course, brought it up. Peter from Slash Film. And I said, well, I suppose we're just sellouts, but we're okay with that.
Yeah, especially for that. Oh, we can't disclose
we
how much
disclose
that was for.
The amount that Paramount paid us to say nice things about the Love
It was
Guru.
Nice, though.
Oh, it was not. I mean, yeah. I have a new boat now.
I have butt implants. They're great.
Completely inappropriate overshare.
Sorry.
But in all honesty, we like the Love Guru. So, but apparently America did not, because it only made $14 million last weekend. And it got trounced by Get Smart. Get Smart coming in at $38 million, number one of the weekend. The Incredible Hulk and Kung Fu Panda. And you mentioned off the air something about Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that Kung Fu Panda has been able to, not surprised in the way that I thought it was a bad film, but I've just been pretty surprised that it's been able to hang in there. I mean, it was third at the box office.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually brought in more than Love Guru, pretty close to Hulk on its second week.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
very close between Kung Fu Panda and The Incredible Hulk. They were also talking about potential sequel for Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, which
they're already starting to work on it.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of.
You're not a big fan of that?
No, I think that you know, it felt too much like the movie ended right there, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that DreamWorks Animation probably shouldn't push their luck, because they have a lot of good vibe going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, but let's put it this way. The movie's been out for 3 weeks. The budget on the film was $130 million, and it's already grossed $155.
Yeah.
And that's just domestically. I'm sure it's making an absolute killing overseas. It's already at $230 million worldwide. That will usually get you a sequel contract.
Skadoosh.
A little skadoosh action.
Yeah.
So, same thing for the Incredible Hulk, still kind of rolling, but not as powerful as like Iron Man was earlier in the summer. But then again, it was wedged in between all of these other big movies.
Yeah.
But then again, Iron Man had to deal with like the biggest May we've ever seen.
Yeah,
and
but
it still rocked.
Still, this is seriously, I mean, thus far, one of the most impressive summer movie seasons I've seen.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, any of these movies that are still putting up those kind of numbers, I'm still surprised. Because I really feel that every movie that comes out that week is just going to blow away the second or third place.
Right.
It's just how it's going to be this whole summer.
Right. And that leads us into a little bit of this weekend. We've got WALL-E, which is releasing huge wide like seriously huge wide, like, you know, 3900 screens, so that makes it behind Kung Fu Panda. Actually, it's releasing in less than Kung Fu Panda, less theaters, whatever that means, but I have a feeling it's gonna kill.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, Pixar has one of the best track records as far as studios go, right. And parents love Pixar movies as much as the kids do. So
right, and I think it's interesting too. I was last weekend. I was hanging out with my family, which I have been known to do from time to time. And I was kind of doing an informal poll because there was family there from all over the country. You know, obviously I have family from Cleveland and myself and my family from Chicago. And even I have an aunt that lives in Los Angeles. And we were talking about movies and they were like, you know, whenever, I'm sure it's the same with you. Whenever you go somewhere, somebody's always going to ask you, so what good movies have you seen? And I always say, well, that's kind of a tough question to answer because I've seen them all. So you kind of just kind of have to ask me specifically what I thought of each movie. And then we start talking about WALL-E, and no one had any idea what I was talking about. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, we're talking about a group of people, a family who are into movies, and none of them are really, even my aunt, who's probably got a huge WALL-E billboard like outside of her apartment in Hollywood. And everybody's just like, oh. And I was like, no, that cute little robot. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is no one excited about this movie? Besides, like, me and you and Peter and Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easier for anybody that is around movies all the time. But, mm-hmm. I mean, all it takes, though, I mean, you have to admit, I mean, because you probably showed a few people the trailer. All it takes is the trailer. And they're I need to see this.
And I think what's interesting is it forced me earlier in the week to get in touch with movietickets.com. And I was curious to see how tickets were selling compared to Kung Fu Panda, which, as we just said, has done very, very well. So they got back to me on, I think, Tuesday of last week. And they said, right now, it is outselling Kung Fu Panda 4-1 at the same time. So while it doesn't feel necessarily like WALL-E is dominating the world, I think they've done a lot of advertising for it. I think they've done a lot of great stuff on ABC. I was at the health club last Sunday night, and there was the Disney, Wide World of Disney, or whatever they do on ABC, and it was like WALL-E. Every commercial break was something more about WALL-E. So,
yeah, and I just looked it up. Cars did 60 million opening weekend.
On
a summer too. It's summer month too. So
right, I have a feeling it's going to do well, but it does concern me that, you know, when we look at like the movie meter, and if you're not familiar with what the movie meter is on IMDb, it's an IMDb Pro feature that allows us to see what movie pages are being accessed the most. So right now, if you look at it, you've got The Incredible Hulk, The Happening, Zohan, The Dark Knight. Which, I mean, The Dark Knight's been up there since it was announced. And then at number 8, you have Wanted. It's the number 8 most viewed page on IMDb. To get to WALL-E, you have to go down to 23.
I think, too, though, that it has a lot to do with the fact that this is like one of their first movies without any big-name actors attached, because of the fact that not many humans are really featured in the film.
Ratatouille didn't have any big-name actors. I mean, it had Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
He's a big name in his hometown, you know? But otherwise, he's not a draw.
Yeah, but Ratatouille, I don't know. You just kind of disproved my point. But
I did, didn't I?
But, I mean, like, I just look at Cars, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know,
it had
Owen Wilson
and that other, yeah, that Newman guy, whatever his name is.
Paul.
Yeah.
Cool Hand Luke. You want to get an egg-eating competition with him?
I don't think so.
You should.
Do I?
Yes,
do
you
I
do.
Not want to?
You do, to prove your manliness.
I'm not really sure.
Or lack thereof.
What's going on here?
Anyways.
I feel violated.
That's weird because Kevin is not here. I don't know where that came from. WALL-E. Yeah, I think it's the lack of human, you know, presence in the trailer, human
right.
presence in the film. You know what I mean? Like, I think just a lot of parents and older people just aren't looking at it and saying, oh, I could relate to this.
Okay.
But it's cute. It's going to do well.
All right. So now, safe to say that we agree that WALL-E's going to finish number one?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the big question. Who's number two, Get Smart or Wanted?
I really think that Wanted will, because there's way too much positive.
There's way too many bullets.
Yeah. There's too much positive buzz right now.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's going to come close to WALL-E. I think, you know, you'll probably see Wanted come in close to about 30.
I think it's funny because I think Wanted might benefit a lot from the early reviews, because everybody knows that, like, a Wednesday from last Wednesday or whatever was the first round of screenings, and Universal is okay with people, you know, putting reviews and stuff up very early, whereas Disney is like, you got to hold it, and, you know, to the right before it comes out and stuff like that. Wanted is getting all kinds of great buzz. You know, people are coming out of it going, man, that movie just rocks, you know, and it's kind of like The Matrix. It's, you know, I don't know, we talked about it already, but it has that good buzz going for it, and I think that could do well. But I still think Get Smart's getting a lot of positive buzz as well.
Yeah, I think that everybody who, like, openly wanted to see it saw it last weekend. I mean, it's going to still do well, but, you know, I really think Wanted's going to come in number two.
Okay, fair enough. And then Get Smart number three, and then
probably Kung Fu Panda will take over Incredible Hulk this week.
Kung Fu Panda will probably take over. Well, yeah,
maybe. I think Incredible Hulk will probably drop, you know what I mean? All right. Kung Fu Panda, I think, will have some staying power.
Right.
Until Wally gets that exposure that it's looking for.
Right. Okay. Cool. And then, that's pretty much that with the box office. I think we've droned on about the box office. Okay, go to sleep here. And with that, we have one more. We have about another minute left in this mammoth box office segment. Before we get next up is the internet only segment. I know you're a big fan of that.
Yeah, incredibly.
We get to say whatever we want.
I get to say bad things about Zohan.
Are you gonna say bad things about Zohan?
Yeah.
Where did that finish in the box office this week?
Horrible.
Are you serious, or are you just making that up?
$7 million.
Well, it's been out for what, 2 weeks?
It's been out for four.
It's made a lot more money than it needed to make.
Yeah, pretty much. Say that. $84 million.
That's a lot. That's another almost $100 million. Just like Adam Sandler falls out of bed and $100 million comes out. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's sad. It's what's wrong with our country. Not as much wrong as what Meet the Spartans means for our country, but the Zohan definitely is not saying good things.
No, not at all.
So
he is curing the war in the Middle East, though.
Well, I mean,
through hummus and orange soda.
Nice. Well, when we come back, we're going to do the internet-only segment for those of you not listening to us on the radio. For those of you on the radio, we're going to do DVD Roundup. But internet only, we've got all kinds of random stuff to talk about. You are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
No, so that was the second time I got syphilis.
Whoa, I think we're back.
Why'd you do that?
What?
That's not even cool.
What?
I'm telling you a personal thing that's very close to me,
and I started the recording.
And you're recording.
It just starts on its own. Yeah. I think. Anyways, now that you've heard about Brian's weird things, that
it's cleared up. It's cleared up. Okay.
Just in case you were wondering, you are listening to Fat Guys in the Movies, and this is the internet only segment, and we're gonna do some news for you here in a second. I'm sorry, that was just random.
Yeah, well, I mean, man,
weird
stuff. Given our conversations, that's pretty tame.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
So we're going to do news, and then we're going to do a segment that we have just recently invented called Random Shit of the Week, where we talk about...
Random Shit of the Week.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Clever.
It's yeah, it makes sense.
It's highbrow.
The first news that we have is some very sad news. I guess we're just going to... We'll start sad, and we'll work our way to inappropriate. And that's how we roll here. But the sad news is that George Carlin died this week.
Yeah, that is sad. He's a great comedian.
And what are the... We have to go through the seven words.
Yeah.
Because this is the internet-only segment, so...
And we're allowed.
Yes. So what are the seven words? Do you know them all?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know...
Is it shit, piss...
Cunt is on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Fuck. They took motherfucker off.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Um,
oh, damn it.
Was it asshole?
No, hold on. I'll find it here. But it's very sad because George Carlin. Wow. He goes through them very quickly.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. There you go.
In honor of George Carlin.
Yes.
He was 71 years old and something else. I don't...
We're so organized here, it's unbelievable.
What did he die of? Don't leave me hanging here.
I'm waiting for your sentences to deviate so horribly. So George Carlin died. He was a man.
Stop it. What did he die of? Oh, he died of a heart attack. I feel like an asshole now. He went to the hospital complaining of chest pains and passed away at the ripe age of 71.
He will be sorely missed.
I will say, though, that the probably the best tribute, I know we try to do our best at Film School Rejects of, writing up a little thing about him. But none of us really knew him. But there was a really great article in Newsweek where Kevin Smith wrote about his experience with him, and he worked with him on Dogma. And one of my personal favorite George Carlin moments of all time was the last scene in Jersey Girl, where he like breaks down and talks. You know, he has a very emotional moment. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen Jersey Girl just yet, but
there's a lot of them.
I'm sure there are a lot of them, unfortunately. But I thought, I mean, it literally had me in tears, and I like not like laughing tears, but like sad tears. And it's even more sad now. So I probably never will want to watch.
Are you sure? Because you usually mix those up sometimes.
I'm usually just very, very traumatic. It's a very traumatic experience.
Neil's life. A drama queen. Totally. For anybody who doesn't know.
Yes. Yes. So yeah. So do you have a favorite George Carlin moment other than what I just said?
I grew up watching HBO. So watching all of his comedy specials, I mean, I mean, you can't really pinpoint any one in like, you know, from what I remember, just it his stand up is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. I mean, that's the one thing that I think in pop culture we'll miss right now is that is, you know, his appearances in like Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, sorely missed. Great God, guy.
It's the rule of the unwritten rule of the road. From Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, I thought you had something going on. No. Or how you get rides.
How do you get rides? That is still one of the best, one of the funniest damn things.
Neil used to be a trucker. He went to Thompson Trucking School.
I did?
And
this is new.
And he used to give rides to people all the time. What was your rule of the road? I'm not following you.
I don't want to talk about it.
And that's the second time you got syphilis.
Oh, that joke had to come back and hurt us, didn't it? Anywho, the next thing we wanted to talk about, we wanted to talk a little bit about Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
We're kind of excited about it.
Kind of.
Over at Film School Rejects, but we found out some disturbing news, I suppose. And this is exclusive to Fat Guys and Movies. I think I'm just too lazy to write an article about it. So at no point will you ever see an article about this. But there was a rumor on the web this week that Paramount's not coming. And I got in touch with some people at Paramount and dispelled that rumor fairly quickly. But one of the things, if you are going to Comic-Con, that is worth noting is that Transformers and Star Trek are just not ready yet. So we probably won't see anything from Transformers or Star Trek. Hasbro is doing a panel, so apparently they'll be doing some stuff with G.I. Joe, which comes out next year. All these movies come out next year.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see some stuff on the floor for Star Trek.
Yeah, and you know, and I cannot imagine going through Comic-Con without them doing some kind of Transformers like reference or something.
Yeah.
You know, but we've been talking all week on the website about how important Comic-Con can be for Hollywood. You know, you look at the success of Iron Man, and really the big breaking point of that was Comic-Con last year. So it's interesting to see that Paramount is kind of taking it easy this year.
Well, I mean, they might have like still like an ace up their sleeve. Like the thing with Indiana Jones, you know, they might go to like, you know, Michael Bay on set satellite for like, you know, just like 2 minutes of, you know, hey there, Comic-Con. I'm Michael Bay, blah, 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 blow stuff up, you know.
Right. And they did promise that there will be some Tropic Thunder stuff there.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. I don't know about you.
Yes. I want to hear Robert Downey Jr. jive talking.
Jive talking. Yeah. So hopefully we will be, in case you're wondering, at Comic-Con this year. We're bringing the whole crew this year, aren't we?
Yeah. What, six people?
Seven. It's gonna be good times. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
So hopefully just a lot of drinking. I mean, my goal is really to drink the Slash Film crew under the table.
Peter? Because 7-on-1, that's not too fair.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't know. Peter does drink pretty hard stuff, though.
He does?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Because we're all Zima fans, and
oh, yeah, that's
Peter's right. Sitting there tipping back some JD.
Nice. All right, cool. So time to do our random shit of the week, which is a new segment because Kevin's not here and we don't have a top 10 list.
And we're organized. Very, very organized.
Very, very organized. As you can tell, this is probably the most planned out show.
Ever. Can we have a segment called Let's Make Fun of Kevin?
We can do that. I mean, we can just dump the segment we were going to do right now and do that one.
We could probably fit some Kevin,
we'll fit some Kevin jokes in.
The
first thing we want to talk about in our random shit of the week is if corporations made movies. This is a two-parter from filmschoolrejects.com, a filmschoolrejects.com exclusive editorial, by the way, about movies. And what started in my mind with this idea was, what if companies like Apple or Best Buy or Walmart decided to make movies and finance movies? Because Starbucks financed that Aquila and the Bee movie.
Yep. And WWE has their own production company.
And WWE has their own production company. So what if other companies started doing this? And I thought, you know, if Apple was going to make a movie in all of their glory and greatness, they would probably make something like WALL-E. You know, it'd be very slick looking. It'd be very cute and very accessible to just about anybody. And we kind of built the idea from there. Of course, Josh Radde, who wrote up the article, somehow brought it all back to Transformers being a big General Motors commercial. But, you know, whatever. We'll let him go with that. So I think there's a few. I want to read two of these.
Okay.
So I'll pick one and you pick one.
Okay. Which one were you going to pick?
I don't know. Which one do you want?
I don't want to pick one of mine because you know. That would just be vain.
Okay. Just
the Driller Killer would be. Okay. I like the Driller Killer. It's if Craftsman Tools was to make a feature film.
Okay.
This is what the synopsis would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
In 1976, Abel Ferrara starred in and directed a movie that drilled us to the bone. I'm not going to do that voice anymore though. A movie where blood runs in rivers and the drill keeps tearing through flesh and bone. But you ain't seen what power can do. In 2008, a resourceful maniac equipped with only his Craftsman 11536 14.4 volt cordless drill will seek his revenge in Eli Roth's remake, The Driller Killer. You better pray his battery runs out before he reaches you, but that's not likely. I think it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
The best part is that these all sound like feasible films in Hollywood.
Sound like something some executive in Hollywood is going, yeah, let's do that.
Okay, you could stop there because you just hit gold.
All right, now this one is Nike, if Nike were to make one. And it's, Frank is a father with too many children and a son destined to walk in the very same Nike shock-shaped footsteps of his own father. Determined to not abandon any of his dozens of illegitimate children or their mothers, Frank's life is spiraling out of control. In this heartwarming and uplifting tale, Frank decides to use his last few dollars, $119.99, to buy a new pair of running shoes and become America's next big track and field star. With a newfound fame and fortune, he will be certain to outrun his child support payments from Cameron Crowe with a poignant soundtrack featuring Elton John, Bob Dylan, Peter Gabriel, and music by Nancy Wilson. Just do it. Literally.
That would be a great film.
Yeah. I want to do one more.
One more.
These are fun. I don't know. Do we do the eBay one or the JCPenney one?
Why not both? Could we fit them in?
Yeah, sure. We're in the internet-only segment. I mean, this could run as long as we really want it to. So I'll do this. We'll get the eBay one.
All right.
So this one is if eBay made a movie. Director Terry Gilliam brings us a dark fictional account of the fall of communism. Citizens are hungry and want more from life and demand more from the country that is keeping them from having all the things they want. On one fateful day, a man decided to sell his bread for more money than it was worth. Soon, hundreds would follow suit. Before long, thousands of citizens were selling things that weren't even theirs. Eventually, their entire world became a marketplace, and only the secret military group, the PayPals, were able to keep the country from ripping itself to pieces. This summer, for a negotiable price, you can wrap your eyes around eBay the movie.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Okay, you're next.
Now on to JCPenney. If JCPenney made a film, this is what it would look like. Follow the story of Penny, Jessica Alba. She is a girl who has everything in life. A great job, amazing friends, and a hardworking metabolism. She is missing just one thing, a husband. Her friends don't understand how a beautiful CEO can't find love. Penny is looking for more than just a man. She needs a man that can look inside instead of at her polished exterior. One day, on her way to the office, Penny meets a man sketching in the park, and for the first time in her life, she doesn't know what to do. Clark, played by Paul Giamatti, isn't the best-looking guy, but after one day of shopping at Penny's favorite department store, wink wink, the two fall in love. Rob Reiner presents It's All Inside. Or if we wanted to substitute the names, we could easily substitute Penny with a character named Sarah Sears and Clark with David Roebuck, and you could have the softer side of Sears. Either or, it makes for a great romantic comedy.
Yeah. Funny times.
Yeah. The Nike one, like, as, like, you're reading it, all I can think is, like, Salisbury Hill, like, playing in the background. Yeah. And some guy just jogging with these new shoes.
Nice.
These are all feasible movies.
So there you have it. All kinds of shenanigans, courtesy of filmschoolrejects.com. That's how we roll. We bring the shenanigans.
Yeah, I just can't wait until a studio contacts us and asks us to buy these ideas.
I know. Oh, we're going to make so much money.
Yeah, like a whole, like, $10 or something. Yeah,
they're going to be like, here's $50, kid. You can come on set.
Woo!
Anyways, next random shit topic is Brian watches zombie strippers and...
I threw open my mouth.
I think that's the whole topic.
Yes.
The last topic I wanted to talk about was whether or not we're getting a little too much of Transformers 2. This is pretty simple as well, because, you know, we got to move on with this whole radio show. I'm sick of this thing already. I love Transformers. I love Michael Bay. He's a beautiful man. He makes amazingly awesome films. But I am tired of seeing video taken by some 15-year-old kid from 100 meters away of a yellow Camaro driving down a Pennsylvania street. Who cares?
When did you convert to the metric system?
What?
When did you convert to the metric system? Why'd you say 100 meters?
I don't know. I'm European.
This is American, buddy. We speak American here. Crack my arm like the Liberty Bell.
But I guess, I don't know. I was looking at it earlier this week about Transformers, and we're looking at all these different photos and stuff that's coming out. And you know what? It's all well and good. But you have to ask yourself, at what point are we just going to be oversaturated, and at what point are we going to lose interest?
Like, the thing that I'm afraid of is that, like, for how many times we watched the trailer for the first movie, how many pictures we saw, everything,
yeah,
nothing ever showed an actual transformation.
Because so, they don't do that until, like, next year,
yeah,
when ILM does it.
So, like, you know, we didn't see... you know, 3/4 of the cool parts of Transformers,
right,
even though we thought we had probably seen the whole movie through trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually sat down and watched the movie, it was like, holy shit, this is
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going to be the wow factor in this second film? And we're already seeing an oversaturation of all these, you know, all this crap, but, you know, I mean...
I don't know. I don't understand why everyone's so interested in it. I mean, it's Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. Now, Megan Fox is very interesting no matter what she's doing.
Jennifer's body, naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't find it all incredibly interesting. Now, some of the stuff that's come out about the story and a lot of the speculation, that's all well and good, but, I mean, most of it's probably fake anyways.
Did you hear the rumor about the whole Fallen thing?
Yeah, there's a some lore about the Fallen. That's,
yeah.
I mean, all we know is the title, and we can speculate from there. So I think while it is fun to speculate, you know, we've got to be careful with this Transformers 2 thing. There's a lot to it. But as they always do, a commenter on Film School Rejects kind of put me in my place after I wrote this article, and he said, well, I've been hearing about The Dark Knight every day for like the last 10 years, and I'm still very excited to see it in a couple weeks. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I usually am. Just ask my ex-girlfriend.
Dude, can we ask her now?
No.
can we do a call?
Can we just call her? No. But that's all I have to say. You have any other random shit this week before
no.
we move on?
I'm really excited about the animated X-Men series that's going to be coming out. I'm really, really excited
really,
about it.
Really, really, really excited.
Yeah, and the fact
you
that
look
it's called
really excited.
And it's called Wolverine and the X-Men. So
because
you know,
it's all about Wolverine.
Yeah, it always has been.
I mean, he is a badass.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get around that.
I don't know. Like it made me think though. I don't know if you remember that panel that we watched with all the Marvel editors last year at Comic-Con.
We were at a panel last year at
Comic-Con.
I have no idea what happened.
Where somebody asked about the X-Babies.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, the possibility of them making like an X-Babies like show or like a comic.
Right.
And
would it be like Rugrats from Nickelodeon?
Well, Rugrats, but like, you know, if one could open its eyes and like blow up another. Because
I wanted Chucky from Rugrats to have superpowers.
To have blades coming out of his hand.
Maybe, if necessary.
To just like, you know, like have Lil like up in the air like a kebab.
Yeah. Phil and Lil.
Yeah.
Rugrats. Our knowledge of Rugrats is strong.
Really? it's kind of weird. just totally ignore that. But no, like for comic book fans, you should really watch the trailer. I put it up on
Film
School Rejects.
They don't listen to our show.
Okay, whatever then. I'll still talk about it real quick. You actually see, for a split second, Hulk come out and almost attack Wolverine, which means that they're probably going to show the origins from Hulk 181.
Okay.
And do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
No? All right. And they actually show Mystique approach Logan as Weapon X, which is just so cool because they're actually tying in all of Wolverine's mythos.
Weapon as Wolverine?
Yeah. Like she like walked up to him as the Weapon X Wolverine.
So it's like him looking at himself?
Yeah, but when he was in the Weapon X program.
Okay. So it's like Multiplicity then with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, like I got a wallet.
But with superheroes.
Steve.
It's like a bad Michael Keaton movie.
That reminds me. I really want to watch Multiplicity.
You should.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. So, all right, cool. Well, when we come back, we're going to do a little DVD roundup. We're going to look back at what we said about the two movies that are coming out this week, and we're going to look ahead to next week. That is all for your In and Only segment. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And as we always do, time to wrap you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. I, of course, am Neil Miller, the host and true talent of Fat Guys at the Movies, along with Brian Gibson, who's not Kevin.
No, and
I think we've determined that over the course of the show.
Yes, the non-Kevin.
You are not Kevin.
The Kevin doppelganger.
The Kevin doppelganger, Brian Gibson.
Yes.
So as we always do, now you understand that when I say the next part, you have to do the sound effect of the whip, right? Because that's what Kevin always does.
Okay. You have to do it for me real quick. What was it sound like?
It's whoosh.
Oh, one more time?
Whoosh.
Okay, all right.
So we're going to do our DVD roundup.
Whoosh.
Where we picked the best DVDs that came out last week or this week or I don't know, whatever week you're in. It doesn't really matter at this point.
Depends on what country
you live in, I suppose. My pick this week, I've got
plural.
Two.
There yes. you go.
I am special. I've been special all my life.
Ever since you had to wear that helmet to school.
Right. Ever since the helmet incident. But my favorite picks of the week. Hold on, I'm pulling them up. Hold on. One is In Bruges with Colin Farrell. Probably Colin Farrell's best movie ever. Probably the best movie Colin Farrell's ever going to do. He's very funny in it. And they're shooting, which, as we experienced with Wanted this week, is a good thing.
Yes, bullets everywhere.
Secondly is Charlie Bartlett, which was a movie that if you are one of those people who was like, man, that Robert Downey Jr. was really good in Iron Man, really good actor. this is Robert Downey Jr. doing his thing in Charlie Bartlett. He was absolutely fantastic in it. He plays a principal to Anton Yelchin, who is a drug-dealing, psychoanalytical teenager. It's really complicated.
And Robert Downey Jr. really didn't have to act at all. He played an alcoholic, right?
He did.
Yeah.
That's kind of mean.
Well, it's kind of true.
Well, it's also kind of true. What's your pick of the week?
My pick? Definitely Maybe.
You had to look at it? Yeah. Well, I had to look mine up too.
I forgot what came out.
Yours
Sorry.
Is Definitely Maybe on DVD.
Yeah, it's Definitely Maybe.
It may definitely be on DVD.
It's on DVD.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Right.
But
I also know this.
It's really good. I really liked it. It has that little Abigail Breslin girl.
Right, who was really creeped down by having to be interviewed by Kevin Carr.
Kevin.
For American Girl.
Yet again.
Yeah, what was that? Kit Kittredge?
Kit Kittredge.
Fun times.
Yeah, it's the Kevin factor.
Well, I mean, fat bald dude interviewing 12-year-old girl.
No.
Never going to go well.
No.
I don't care who it is.
But Abigail Breslin, Ryan Reynolds, which Ryan Reynolds
is awesome.
He's
saw him
money.
In Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
How freaking awesome is he?
He's a cool guy.
God, I just want to make out with him.
Silence.
Anyway, stinker of the week this week is a movie that I would not like to make out with, 10,000 BC.
Starring Stephen Strait and Camilla Bell.
Which Camilla Bell was hot in that movie where she played the deaf girl, but not so much in this one.
Yeah, the whole talking thing for her, it's just not working out.
And also, Alicia Cuthbert in a cheerleader outfit would have made this movie so much better.
Yeah, but where would that have any place in 10,000 BC?
They spoke English.
Yeah.
Where does that have any place in 10,000 BC? English wasn't even around back then. It didn't come along till much closer to zero.
You know, 10,000 BC, I hate Roland Emmerich.
Are you excited about his new movie where John Cusack opens up a hole to another world? And
I hate
ends
him.
Ours?
I hate Roland Emmerich.
You just hate him?
Yeah, like it.
The Day After Tomorrow was not it for you?
No, he thinks that he can put stuff in movies and people will be like, wow, that Roland Emmerich is such a smart guy.
But what if he is smart?
He's not. Okay. He, like, you know, the main character in 10,000 BC is named Dle, right?
Well, I mean, but that's how they talked back.
No. His name was around. No. His name was Dle because Dle is held backwards, and held in German is the word for hero, which Roland Emmerich put in there as kind of like a little trick because he ends up being the hero. Yeah,
well,
screw
all,
you, Roland
first
Emmerich.
Of all, most people wouldn't get that. So
I read a lot.
Then,
but why put
but
it
I
in
understand
then?
I understand why you're mad.
It's just stupid
because he is really not targeting you.
No, I hope not, because I'm not gonna watch his movies.
All right, so that's DVD picks of the week. Go out and get Charlie Bartlett and get him Bruges, and definitely maybe see that movie with Ryan Reynolds. On to the review wrap up. There's no sound effect for this one.
I forgot.
So we'll start with WALL-E, which I saw and absolutely loved. I'm saying totally rocks beyond your comprehension.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, this is a radio segment. We cannot say anything.
Oh, that's right.
So, and then we also saw Wanted. We did that together, holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you said?
That it really rocked. It was awesome.
And I did the old okie doke where I said it was, I almost said kind of rocks, but then I said totally rocks. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So definitely a lot of movies to go out there and see. I would highly recommend seeing both of them. Just go see WALL-E first, because then if you're too like bombarded by the cuteness, it will cleanse your palate by far. So next week, Kevin is back in the studio, and we are going to talk about the inappropriately named Hancock and the Whackness, which, that's right, I saw it in like January, so I'm sure.
I saw it too.
And then you saw it in March. Yeah. I'm sure Kevin and I will have some kind of discussion about how fancy I am for going to Sundance. In between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can hit us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys at the Movies, or give us a call, 614-388-8735. Did I? Too many eights? I don't know. I don't think so.
888-88.
Just give us a damn call. Brian, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for filling in for Kevin this week. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Pleasurable. sings everything that Kevin says really fast, and he doesn't even sound entertaining. Okay, this is Fat Guys at the Movies.